From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Several states are issuing mandatory quarantine orders for people who've had contact with Ebola victims in one of the West African countries hard hit by that virus. Illinois, New York, and New Jersey say anyone coming to those states who had contact with Ebola patients will face a mandatory 21-day quarantine. In New Jersey, a nurse who worked with Ebola patients in Sierra Leone has been quarantined at a local hospital. She's tested negative for the virus, but hospital officials won't say when she will be allowed to leave. And in Florida, that state is now requiring mandatory twice-daily health monitoring for people returning from caring for Ebola patients. But Erica Lance of member station WBUR in Boston reports Governor Deval Patrick says Massachusetts won't follow suit.
Governor Patrick says he will not follow the lead of his counterparts in New York, New Jersey, and Illinois, who are imposing a three-week quarantine on travelers who've had contact with Ebola-infected patients. Patrick says that's not necessary for Massachusetts.
I think it's probably a step further than we need here in the Commonwealth. Well, we're prepared, and it's certainly a step further than what the CDC has recommended. But I understand that folks are anxious.
Governor Patrick says the risk for Ebola is very low in Massachusetts. He also says that doctors, nurses, and public safety officials are prepared to deal with a case if one arises. For NPR News, I'm Erica Lance in Boston.
Outside Seattle, an education union official says he is amazed by the actions of a recently hired social studies teacher. Randy Davis is head of the Marysville Education Association. He says Megan Silberberger intervened as a student went on a shooting rampage at Marysville Pilchuck High School yesterday, killing two people, including himself. Four others were wounded. Three are still hospitalized in critical condition with head wounds. Classes have been canceled next week. Egypt's president says a deadly attack on the Egyptian army yesterday was conducted with outside support. NPR's Leila Fadel reports Abdel Fattah al-Sisi made those comments today in a national address.
At least 30 people were killed in a complex attack on an army checkpoint in the northern part of the Sinai Peninsula on Friday, the single deadliest attack on security forces in decades. There's a big conspiracy against us, President Sisi says in a televised statement flanked by army commanders, to break the army, the backbone of Egypt. He didn't elaborate, but did vow to uproot militants in Sinai where an insurgency is growing. He called it a war. Last night, Egypt declared a state of emergency and a temporary curfew in the northern part of the peninsula following the attack. Leila Faldin, NPR News, Cairo.
Game 4 of the World Series is tonight in about an hour as the Kansas City Royals try for their third straight win against the San Francisco Giants, trying to build on last night's victory. This is NPR. In Iraq, at least 8 Shiite militiamen are dead in a suicide bombing north of Baghdad. 17 others were wounded. Iraqi police say the bomber set off his explosives belt at a gathering of the militiamen fighting the so-called Islamic State militants in the town of Taji. That's about 12 miles north of Baghdad. Thousands of Shiites answered a call from clergy in June to fight the extremists. The collapse of a coal mine shaft in northwestern China has left at least 16 miners dead. 11 others are injured. Officials say 33 miners were in that shaft when the accident happened. Six were brought out by rescuers. Automaker Ford has decided to build a new engine plant in Mexico instead of Canada, and that isn't sitting well with Canada's auto workers union. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, talks between Ford and Canadian government officials failed to bring the new investment north of the border.
Both Ottawa and the province of Ontario said they would not provide public money for the project because Ford refused to make specific job and economic commitments. Negotiations went on for months, and government officials said Ford approached them with an unprecedented request for funding, but wouldn't go into details. The Union for Auto Workers in Canada, Unifor, expressed disappointment both with Ford's decision and with Canadian lawmakers. Union President Jerry Diaz says it's a significant blow. A new engine plant in Windsor would have stabilized operations there for a decade and would have created about 1,000 jobs. The union is scheduled to hold a meeting in Windsor on Sunday to explain the decision to its members. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Wall Street closed out its best week in almost 2 years after coming off two rocky weeks. Indices made wild swings in both directions, but on Friday, the Dow, the S&P 500, and the Nasdaq all rose about 0.7%. This is NPR.